Good evening. Great to see you tonight. Thank you for joining us. As you've come tonight, we're excited that we could gather together and study the Word. Amen? Amen. We get to come together in a place, and the Bible says that we get to worship Jesus who is risen. We get to worship a God who is alive, a God who we can know, who though He's almighty, we can know Him personally. We get to come and study a Word that's not an old record, but the Bible says that the Word is living and active, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We get to study the Bible in which Jesus said that man should not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Understand that we get to study the Bible itself, where Scripture says in accordance to it in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19 that we have the prophetic word that's made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. He goes on to say there that men were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. You get to study this evening the Word of God that points you to the Son of God, confirming by the Spirit of God that you are a child of God. We get to come tonight and celebrate. So we get to come in a place like this, and we had church last Saturday outside of the walls in the middle of the fair. It was a great time, and I just want to tell you, thank you for your participation. Thank you for getting involved. They had to shut down the parking lot at the fair because they saw too many people. They've never seen that many people come into the fair. They first told us 6,000. They said that it was over 7,000 people in the concert area itself come in. And we had an opportunity not only to minister inside where the concert was at, but also to minister outside. We had prayer tables set up right outside the beer garden. So when people were walking out hammered, we were able to pray for them, share Jesus Christ with them, and so they would realize that alcohol is not the answer. And they might be amused for a while, but the reality of their life is always going to eventually come back, and it's going to haunt them, and it's going to hit them. And so we want them to know Christ personally. So I want to thank you for your participation. Thank you for your involvement. Can you guys hear me? All right. Thank you so much for the opportunity to serve together as a church. As I was sharing that on Saturday night, I realized oftentimes we get a wrong perspective of Christianity. Many times when we come to Christ, we often think that once we come to Christ, that our life gets easier. That's false. Oftentimes our life will get harder in life. And I don't know if you've ever wanted to say that you've had a bad day. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a place that it just seemed unexpected, life's turn and twist in the trials that you were facing. As a Jewish writer, Sholem Aleichem, once said, he said that life is a blister on top of a tumor and a boil on top of that. American poet Carl Sandburg once said these words. He said, sometimes life's like an onion. You peel it off one layer at a time, and sometimes you weep. And a lot of times we want to be on the mountaintop of serving the Lord, but oftentimes God places us in the valley and learning from Jesus Christ. And I think it's in that valley that we would pay attention to what they said in the Puritan prayer book. They once said these words. I want to put it up on the screen for you. They once said these words, Lord, high and holy, meek and lowly, thou hast brought me to the valley of vision, where I live in the depths, but see thee in the heights. Hemmed in by mountains of sin, I behold thy glory. Let me learn by paradox that the way down is the way up, that to be low is to be high, that the broken heart is the healed heart, that the contrite spirit is the rejoicing soul, that the repenting soul is the victorious soul, that to have nothing is to possess all, that to bear the cross is to wear the crown, that to give is to receive, that the valley is the place of vision. They go on in this prayer to say, Lord, in the daytime stars can be seen from the deepest wells, and the deeper the wells, the brighter thy stars shine. Let me find thy light in my darkness, thy life in my death, thy joy in my sorrow, thy grace in my sin, thy riches in my poverty, and thy glory in my valley. And I don't know if God has ever placed you in that valley, but that valley becomes for every one of us tonight a valley of vision, and knowing knowing God better and drawing closer to God in a complete dependence upon Him. Can you open your Bible to Lamentations chapter 3? We're going to jump back into John next week, but I wanted to share some principles with you when you find yourself in that specific place. Once again, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations chapter 3. Beginning in verse 19. Can you look at the person sitting next to you and ask them this question? Have you ever wanted to say you've had a bad day? No, really, ask them that question. Have you ever wanted to say you've had a bad day? Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse... Let's start in verse 16. He says, He has also broken my teeth. Lamentations, I'm sorry if you're not there yet. It's right after the book of Jeremiah. I'll wait for you. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning in verse 16. Jeremiah is right before the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is right after the Song of Solomon, which Ecclesiastes, then Proverbs and Psalms. You'll find your way there. Follow that Bible book road. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning verse 16. He has also broken my teeth, Jeremiah writes, with gravel and covered me with ashes. You have moved my soul far from peace. I have forgotten prosperity, he says. And I said, my strength and my hope have perished from the Lord. Remember my affliction in roaming, the wormwood or the bitterness and the gall. My soul still remembers and sinks within me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Listen to this, please. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone and keep silent because God has laid it on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust that there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes and be full of reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Though he causes grief, yet he will show compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Father, once again, as we've gathered together this evening, fill our hearts with a greater passion for Jesus. Fill our ears this evening with your word, God, and our mind in a thoughtful pursuit of what you've called us to do with our lives. Lord, we know that being a Christian is not an easy road, Lord. It's a difficult road. It's full of, Lord, twists and turns and trials and dashed hopes and expectations. But Lord, in this world, our hope is in you. May you change our perspective and our mindset. And may we see Christ clearly. This evening, Lord, we ask and pray that we would truly see, Jesus, that you are Lord of all. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Once again, have you ever wanted to say that you've had a bad day? Whether that's been for you, whether it's been a Monday or a Tuesday, and the moment seemed on that Monday so miserable that it turned into a terrible toil in your life. Have you ever wanted to say that you've had a bad day? Maybe for you it's not been a Monday or a Tuesday, but maybe for you it's been Wednesday or Thursday when all the work seemed so wonderful, but there was so much drama it became theatrical. You ever wanted to say that you've had a bad day? Possibly for you it's been on a Friday or a Saturday, and it seems that the trial has been so fiery that it seemed to sap all the strength out of your life. Have you ever wanted to say that you've had a bad day? For some of you, it was just yesterday. For some of you, it was last week. For some of you, it was last month. For some of you, possibly, it's even today that you've wanted to say that it's just been a bad day.
And maybe for you, when you've walked into that place, the bad day has come simply because of the fight that you've gotten into. You know that you were right and they were wrong, and you wouldn't let it go. You just kept on and on and on and on. And the fight could have been ended if you would have just stopped talking, but you kept going on and on. And possibly for you in your home in which you live in or the business that you work at, you walked out of the room angry simply because you were so upset and you thought, I will not talk to them for the rest of my life. And maybe for you it started with a fight. And that's what led into this bad day. For maybe, for some of you, it's not a fight that you were in, but maybe for you it was a phone call. You received a phone call from a person telling you that they had cancer. Maybe you received a phone call from someone telling you that someone had died. We had a lady come up and pray just this morning with us. She was telling us that her nephew was riding on a quad and he got struck by an oncoming car and the niece on the back died in that accident. And maybe for you it started with a phone call in your life. It was that phone call that seemed to trigger the bad day over and over and over again. Maybe it hasn't been for you the fight that you've been in. Maybe it hasn't been the phone call that you received. Maybe for you it's your fault. It's your fault. The bad day was brought on by your own bad decisions. The bad day was brought on simply because of the sin that you decided to involve yourself in. Maybe that bad day now is turned into, you know that you've asked for forgiveness, but because you don't sense or feel forgiven, you walk around with all of this guilt upon your heart and your mind and your soul and everything and now in life that you view life simply as a tragic accident instead of divine appointments. I want you to know this evening that as you've come into this place, the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Bible says these words in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Bible tells us these words, not only in Hebrews 13:8, but Romans 8:28. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Notice the Bible also tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. The Bible says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, He says. I have overcome the world. Please remember this. We'll come back to this at the end of my study. That is this. Our circumstances always change in life. Our God never changes in life. All our circumstances will come, they'll go. The Bible says oftentimes they've come to pass. God remains the same. And as we realize that God is remaining the same, how can it be a place in my life where I am able to turn those, by the power of God's Spirit, those bad days in my life into building days? Those areas where I allow God to work in my life, even in the midst of what I'm facing. Because please consider our story in the scripture this evening. It was Jeremiah the prophet. He's known, if you're taking note, he's known as the weeping prophet. He's the man that preached the gospel he preached God's message for 40 years with no converts. This was Jeremiah, who not only wrote the book of Jeremiah, but also Lamentations that we see. This man had very difficult days. Notice the difficulties that he found himself in. The same difficulties that you might find yourself in. That you can go from depleted to depending upon God. That you can go in your life from ruined to restored. That you can go from dashed expectations to holy inspiration in what God is telling you to do. Notice where Jeremiah is at, verse 7. Notice he says about the Lord and what he's going through. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. You ever felt like that in life? Notice also he says this. He says in verse 8, even when I cry and shout, He shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with hewn stone. He has made my paths crooked. You ever felt like that in life? Verse 10, he has been to me a bear lying in wait like a lion in ambush. He has turned aside my ways and torn me in pieces. He has made me desolate. He has bent his bow. He has set me up as a target for the arrow. You ever feel like that in life where it's constantly, the trial is always hitting you over and over and over again? Notice if you would. Jeremiah goes on here in the text. He says he has caused the arrows of his quiver to pierce my loins. I have become the ridicule of all my people, their taunting song all the day. He has filled me with bitterness. He has made me drink wormwood. He has also broken my teeth with gravel and covered me with ashes. Have you ever wanted to say you've had a bad day? Jeremiah finds himself in the same exact place. Notice if you would, please. I want to give you some principles on what the Bible says in the midst of those times where God can turn, as we're sharing tonight, those bad days of my life into those building days. How can God do that in my life? Notice if you would, please. Number one, write this down somewhere. Number one, I want you to write this down. We are not finished. Write that down somewhere. We are not finished. Write that down somewhere. We are not finished. Say it with me. We are not finished. We're not finished. Look at verse 22 in the context of our scripture. He says these words, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Now, if you would please notice this, if you would notice the word consumed there in the context of Lamentation chapter 3 in verse 22, this word consumed is a Hebrew word tamam, T-A-M-A-M, if you're taking note. The word tamam, it's used 60 times in this verb form. It literally means this. It literally means finished. Now notice if you would this word in verse 22. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. I want you to circle the word mercies there in your Bible. The word mercies there literally means God's favor. Look at this and write this down. As the scripture says, through the Lord's favor, we are not finished. And everyone said, amen. Through the Lord's favor, we are not finished. Notice he says, we will not be finished. But too often, we allow our crisis to consume us. We allow the day's events to eat away at us. And we allow the trials to trick us to think that all is finished, so we no longer follow after what God has for us. But listen, please. It's not in our life when we're facing a trial that God is finished with us, but God is forming us. Remember that. When we're facing a trial, it's not that God is finished with us, but God is forming us. Because oftentimes when difficulties come, we're going, okay, Lord, where are you and what are you doing? But listen, God, in the midst of that, is forming your life. The question is how do you respond to situations that stink in your life? How do you respond to situations that stink in your life? True story. In Nebraska, a guy by the name of Brian Brugman caused a stink at the Lincoln County Jail earlier this month and will now have to answer for it in court. Another inmate, Jesse Doris, alleges that Brugman's flatulence passed in close proximity to Doris sparked on December 14th a fight between the two at the jail. Now Bergman, 38, faces on January 11th preliminary hearing on the state's complaint of assault by a confined person. It's a felony punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Brugman is accused of injuring Doris, his cellmate, when he pushed him into cell bars. Doris, 26, was not charged. The two began scuffling, County Attorney Jeff Myers said Tuesday, because Doris was fed up with Brugman's flatulations. Jail fights are common, Myers said, but the cause of this one was rather uncommon. What do you do when life stinks? What do you do when a situation just doesn't smell the way you think it should smell? It's not as pleasurable to you. Do you see what often happens in our lives is this, is we start fighting with God instead of surrendering to God. What happens is this, men and women, is that we find our lives in a place where we're giving up instead of going on. We find ourselves in a place where now we're quitting instead of continuing. And now we'll just take the easy road instead of staying on the hard and difficult road because we're tired of what's going on in our life instead of experiencing God in the midst of that trial that we're facing. Please understand, we are not finished. God is not finished with you. God is not finished with you at school, possibly. In the situations that you're facing in your school. God's not finished with you at your job. I don't know how many of you work this evening. You have some type of employment, but God's not finished with you. I don't know if you've ever had a situation at your workplace where you just didn't get along with your employers or something happened with your coworkers. God's not finished with you in your marriage. God's not finished with you with your children. Mom, Dad, God's not finished with you. God is not finished with you until He takes you to heaven. That day, God will be finished with you and welcoming you into heaven. But oftentimes we get the idea because of our trial that we're going to stop running in the race. Please, we're going to come back to this once again, but understand that life is not about forming God into our image, but God forming us into His image. So the Bible says, therefore, do not lose heart. Even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, the scripture says. Do you see, I love what Jimmy O'Keefe shared this morning in regards to trial and difficulties. He said, God is too wise not to make a mistake. God is too wise that He won't make a mistake in your life. God is too loving that He won't give me something that's unnecessary. God is too kind where He won't give me something that seems so cruel. God is too deep that I can't even understand His ways. Could it be that God, His ways are higher than your ways? Could it be the Bible says that God's thoughts are higher than my thoughts? And even in the situation that you don't even understand, could it be that God is doing something that you might not even understand? But realize this, that I might never understand my trial, but I realize that Jesus Christ is always the answer no matter what. And so I come back to that realizing that I can come to a place realizing Romans 8:29, the Bible says, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We are not finished. God is molding and shaping our lives. You see, I had the opportunity to take a pottery class. And I watched pottery before on TV and I thought this would be really easy. Back when I was in school, you actually had to kick the wheel and the top wheel would spin and you'd put this piece of clay on the center of that wheel and you would get your hands wet and you'd begin to mold and shape this clay. And all of a sudden I thought, man, I'm getting really good at this. And so I thought, you know, I can handle this. So I popped a bigger piece of clay down on that wheel. And all of a sudden, got my hands wet again, had my apron on. I began to really begin to form this piece of clay. And all of a sudden, the clay began to move off the center of the wheel. And all of a sudden, the clay started going like this. And all of a sudden, I began to try to move that back to the center of the wheel. And I'm moving it back to the center of the wheel. The top of my piece of clay is now coming, crumbling to the ground, cut off from the other piece of the clay. I thought, praise the Lord that God is the ultimate potter. That I don't have to worry about God's hands coming to a place where I'm out of the center maybe of God's will and I find myself now all lopsided that God in His control and His power won't bring me back to that place. And ultimately by His loving scarred hands of Jesus Christ, He begins to shape my life once again. And as He shapes my life, doesn't He cut those things out of your life that God desires to cut out? Doesn't He yank out of your life those things He yanks out? Do you know oftentimes what happens in our lives is realizing this, that through the suffering that I go through, that God is perfecting my life. Not that you're a perfect person, because you're not. I'm not a perfect person. Ask my wife. I'm not a perfect person. You're not a perfect person, but God's perfecting us. He is completing us into the image of His Son. And to be more like Jesus, oftentimes we see that God places us through this time of suffering. And as He places us through that time of suffering, God is showing the world through your life who Jesus is. And so realize that you're not finished. You're not finished. Why do we stop even though we know that God's not finished with us? Why? The number one reason is this. We're distracted. We're distracted. We're distracted and we get our eyes off of what God's desire is for our lives. And we find ourselves in that place, maybe much like I did, running that half marathon in Fontana when I was 13 years old. And I was running. And I thought, I got this race in the bag. And as I'm running, there's this real pretty girl running next to me. And so as I'm running, I thought, you know, I'm going to slow down and run with her. And so I ran with her. And all of a sudden she walked and I started walking. You know, I got beat by an 11-year-old that day. Do you know what happens? I think oftentimes we lose out in life because we're so distracted what's around us instead of what God is doing in us and what's ahead of us. Do you see that, men and women? Jesus Christ is working in your life. He is not finished with you. Why? Notice this, verse 22. He says, through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Why? Because His compassions fail not. Can you circle the word compassion there? The word compassion literally means TLC. Tender, loving care. Yes, TLC is also the learning channel, but in God's economy, it's tender, loving care. In that learning, God is giving to you His tender, loving care. The Bible says that His compassions towards you fail not. They do not fail at all. Now notice this. This word fail means to be finished or to perish. Now notice what the Bible says. The Bible says these words, excuse me, because His TLC is not finished and it will never perish. It will never perish. So what happens in the midst of my trial? What happens in the midst of my difficulty? In that season that I want to say, man, I just had a bad day. I want to give you some things to write down. They're going to come up on the screen right now. Letter A. Letter A, realize this, that in the midst of your bad day, God through that time is going to carry us to a new dimension. He's going to carry us to a new dimension. Now that means this, that you're not going to live and depend upon your own power anymore, because you realize John 15 says that without Christ you can do absolutely nothing. So you're going to realize that you're going to live in a new dimension. Not that you're going to come up to some type of greater heaven or third heaven, but it's not living in my own power. Letter B, God's going to carry us in a new direction. That means it's not going to be about my plan anymore. It's going to be about fulfilling God's purpose. Letter C, I'm going to realize that in that time that He carries us to a new destination, a brand new place, because God's broken you in the process of that place. He's making you. Notice this, letter D, He calls us to be an invitation. That is a brand new picture in your life of who Christ is. Not that Jesus has changed, but God is making you more like Jesus in this world. Do you see that? All right. Okay. I'm not alone. Notice He says, we are not finished. We're not finished. God, in the midst of my death, painful circumstances, is producing life. He's producing life. I have 5 children. I've had the opportunity as a father to watch my wife give birth to 5 children. Throughout the pregnancy, she says, oh, it's getting painful. It's getting painful. It's getting worse. Her due date, they call it, the due date is coming. And all of a sudden that due date's getting closer and closer and the pain's coming more and more. And in that painful process now she begins to have what they call contractions. Contractions. And they come on and they get more painful and more, not, I don't understand that, but she's told me about it and I've watched her. The contractions get more painful, And all of a sudden, you go to a Lamaze class. Lamaze, they teach you how to breathe in the midst of pain. Some of you have been there. Okay, take a cleansing breath. Now let's say, okay, here comes the transition. So the contractions are getting worse and worse and worse. And all of a sudden, the transition comes and it's painful. My wife's grabbing my arm, trying to bite my arm. I'm saying, Lamaze, girl, Lamaze, remember Lamaze. This is about Lamaze, remember the Lamaze. And all of a sudden, labor and delivery, you just start hearing painful cries of help, mercy, please. God, touch me, get me through this time. Then all of a sudden you hear this quietness and a wah, 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 wah. And I think about that time in our lives. And I don't know if you've ever seen two pregnant women come together. They don't even have to say anything to each other. It's like there's this connection. I know, girl, what you're going through, girl. I know that. And in that transition time, that painful time, there's life. And I think in our life, sometimes there's God's bringing us through. It just seems like life is hemming us in on all sides and we're being squeezed in and life is painful and hard. And then life gets even more difficult and another thing's topped upon another thing and another thing and another situation you face in life. And it just seems to get worse and worse and worse in your life. Please understand that in that time, God is bringing forth life. He's bringing forth life, not only in your life, but life for people to see. How does a Christian respond when they have cancer? How does a Christian respond when maybe a husband and wife get in an argument? Do they apologize to one another? Do they gossip about it at work? How do they respond? How is it that when a child that you've raised in the Lord and everyone's watching you and they're watching your child be a prodigal and walk away from the Lord, how do you handle that as a Christian parent? How do you handle as a single that you've decided to stay pure in your life, but you just desperately want to get married, but God's not bringing you anyone, it seems like, in your life? How do you face that time where it just seems in your life that everything's just seeming so difficult? Please understand that He is not finished with you. He is not finished with you. And God is working in you His life for His glory and for His honor. So understand that we are not finished. Understand this number two. Write this down. That His compassion is fresh. His compassion is fresh. Verse 23. The Bible says they are new every morning. They are new every morning. Can you read that with me out loud? They are new every morning. They are new every morning. Aren't you glad one day is about 24 hours? And God brings a new day. God says His mercies, listen, His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. The rising of the sun reminds me of God's compassion and His mercies, that there's a fresh new batch. Notice He says His TLC is new every morning. Now understand this word new there in the sense that it means that it's recent or fresh. And it has the sense of something that has not previously existed. The word new once again has the sense that something has not previously existed. Do you see that this evening? It says here, it says from the breaking of dawn, or in our translation, it says they're new every morning. Every morning. Everyone loves something that's new. Something that's untouched, something that's unused. Notice what God gives to us. Something that's current, something that's cutting edge, a new production. Notice this, God gives me His new mercy, His new compassion, His new kindness. God gives that to us every single day. Realize this when you're facing something that seems so bad. Understand that God is giving to us His compassion that is absolutely fresh. It's fresh. He doesn't give old gifts. God gives new gifts. His compassion and His mercies are new every single morning. Every single morning. New. new. A new shirt. You love a new shirt? No? New pants, new shoes. Do you remember those old roller skating days, skating parties they would call them? They would take you for your school to the skating rink, and you had to use used roller skates. And they sprayed this fresh spray in there. It was like, oh, this is gross, but this is fun. You put on a roller skate that 30,000 people have already worn and sweated in. We like new car smell. We even have that fragrant as a fragrant you can put in your old car for a new car smell. We love new things. Guess what God gives you? New compassion. God never looks at us in our time of trial and go, you know what? You've already used too much mercy and compassion. I think I'm done with you in Hesperia. God doesn't do that. He constantly gives me new compassion. I want you to understand what the Bible says. God's in the business of making us new. Notice 2 Corinthians 5:7. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. All things that have passed away, behold, all things have become new. One day the Bible says in Revelation 21 verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. When we have failed, God makes it new. When we faltered, God gives me, oh, come on, don't fall asleep Sunday night. When we faltered, God gives me new mercy, new compassion. When we have backslidden or we walked away from God, God gives me new mercy. When I have the wrong perspective, God gives me a new perspective. Do you see that in our lives? God is in the business of giving us the new. Notice his compassion is fresh. Every day it's absolutely brand new. Now notice this, compassion is a verb. That means that it's an action. Notice what happens in compassion, and that's this. In compassion, if you would write this down, letter A, in compassion, in his compassion, he rescues us. In his compassion, he rescues us. He rescues us from our condition of sin. He rescues us from our own sinfulness, from our own wickedness. God rescues us. And I was reading a story in Ventura, California, of a man who rescued his 4-year-old grandniece who was swept into the ocean by a wave, then drowned in the rough surf on Tuesday, authorities said. The girl and her mother were watching the big waves when one knocked the child off a jetty. Timothy Berry, 54, jumped into the water off Pierpoint Beach after hearing the girl's mother screaming for help. Berry reached the girl and kept her head above water until a surfer arrived and brought her to safety. Lifeguards found Berry floating face down. By the time they arrived, he was not breathing and did not have a pulse. He gave his life because he was seeking. That's an act of compassion to rescue. Do you see, we cannot rescue ourselves. God rescued us from our sinfulness. Notice, not only does God rescue us in the compassion, but letter B, in his compassion, he restores us. In his compassion, God restores us. He restores my dashed expectation. He restores my dreams. He restores your mouth. He restores your heart. He restores your life that you've destroyed. He restores you in that process. In his compassion, he is ready for us. He's ready for us. Not that you would fix yourself up first, but that you would come sinful just as you are and realize that God sent his son to die upon a cross for you. And that in that, God is ready at any time, in any minute, in any second. He is ready to restore. He's ready to rescue. He is ready for you. Now, that doesn't mean I don't physically face the consequences of my sin. That means that God, in his mercy and his grace, he forgives me, he washes me, he makes me clean and absolutely brand new. His compassion is fresh. Not only are we not finished, but his compassion is fresh. Now understand this last point, please, if you've ever wanted to say that you've had a bad day, and that is this, that he remains faithful. Write that down somewhere. He remains faithful. Verse 23, the Bible says these words. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Read that with me. Great is your faithfulness. Notice that. Great is your faithfulness. Come on, come on. Great is your faithfulness. Notice that if you would. God's faithfulness to you is not small. It's not medium. It's not large. It's power sized. God's faithfulness to you, His faithfulness is great. You might say my life is not great right now, but I could tell you this, that God's faithfulness to you is great. I want you to know that God's faithfulness to you, this word great, is a Hebrew word rob. Not that God's going to rob you, R-O-B, but R-A-B. Rob. It literally means this. It means abundant in size and in quantity. The word faithful there means security. Notice this. Abundant is your security to me. Isn't that awesome? What's one thing that people want? Security. Security. Isn't that what we want? We want security. We want to know that we're secure in the hands of God. Some of you have faced situations in the past year. It has seemed like life has ripped the heart out of you. Some of you have faced situations in your life that it has just been so unexpected that it has just seemed to twist and turn your life all around. Some of you right now, you're facing a situation that you're even wondering right now, how will I get through tomorrow? And as you come tonight, I want you to know that God's faithfulness to you is absolutely great. It's abundant in the security that God has for you. Now, if you would please understand, we seek for security in our parents. We seek security in our brothers and our sisters, in our family, grandparents, uncles, aunts. We seek for the security, but oftentimes what happens is, whether it's a wife or a husband, or whether it's a friend, men fail us. People fail us. God will never fail you. God will never fail you. You might say, well, why did He allow this to happen? I don't know. When I first started in ministry, I thought I had answers for every question in life. And some people would come up to me and I would say, here's the answer. And I would shoot this Christian term just right at him. And sometimes I could do that through Scripture because God does give us the answer. But sometimes when we're facing a trial, sometimes I have to fall back on this. I don't understand what you're going through, but I'm going to fall back on what I do understand, and that's what God's promised to you. I don't understand. I don't know why. I don't know why sometimes I'll speak at a funeral and people are looking for some type of explanation of why they died this young. Even if I could explain it, it wouldn't bring them back and heal your aching heart. Men and women, can we please remember this in our life and hold on to this? As a Christian, we don't live on explanations, we live on God's promises. And so this is what I want to encourage you to do, is constantly bringing yourself back to the Word. So I want to give you some things to remember. Number one thing I want you to remember, and that's this. Number one, things to remember. Our circumstances change, but our God does not. Remember that. Our circumstances will change, but our God does not change. Remember that. Number two, remember that life is not about forming God into our image, but God forming us into His image. Remember this. Number three, remember this. Please remember this. Jesus is alive. Remember that. If you would remember that Jesus is alive. Remember that Christ is always will be alive. And if Jesus has conquered death, and He's alive, could He not give you the strength to keep conquering in what you're facing? Are we conquered by our trials? Or are we allowing Christ in the midst of our trial to conquer in and through our lives? Jesus is alive. He's alive. If Jesus is alive, listen, He's paid for my sin. As we used to sing, He paid a debt. My sin. But even in the midst of my sin, maybe you've already surrendered your life to Christ and you've turned from your sin and you've trusted what Jesus has done for you upon the cross and the power of the resurrection. Jesus not only delivers me from my sin, but He delivers me in the midst of my situations I'm in. He will always be faithful, no matter what you face. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together.